This year has been particularly challenging to prepare. There are some sparse sources that are not well understood in general, but certainly not by myself. And more than that, we really need to examine the Masorah than just the sources themselves. So just keep in mind that this was a bit difficult to piece together. A few years ago, we discussed the differences between the Amud and the Bima, and I would like to continue the topic of the structure of a shul, but this time I'd like to focus on seating by asking what is the layout of a shul in terms of seating? This should only be mildly contentious, only on a few points at the end. And most of what's being said here is based on an article written by Rav Mordechai Dorfer, which can be found in one of the volumes of Yerushalayim. Now, in order to connect this to Shavuos, because this is going to be a Shavuos shir, we mentioned in the past that the Bima or the Migdal is high in order to represent Har Sinai, and we sit in some manner, as we're going to discuss, around our symbolic Har Sinai from where we read the Torah from. Now, just to be clear, we're not talking here about yeshivos. They have their own distinctive features. And here we are just dealing with shul. Now, we can find three basic ways that seating in shul is arranged. The first is that all rows face forward, and that's by far today the most common. The second is that you have all of the rows lengthwise, or many, and some in the back, which is in the west, are facing forward. So the first, having all rows lengthwise, can be found in some Sephardi congregations. And the second, sitting on three sides of the shul, meaning having many lengthwise and some facing forward in the west, can be found in both Sephardi and Ashkenazi shuls, but each slightly differently. In a Sephardi shul, the bima, as we discussed previously, is not necessarily in the center, but often it's in the west. And in other Sephardi and Ashkenaz shuls, where the bima is in the center, so it's common to have all three positions, meaning seating in the north, south, and the west. And finally, the third type of seating arrangement could be found in Ashkenaz shuls and possibly some Temani shuls as well, is to have seating on all four walls. And this means that at least one bench will be around each wall, including the eastern wall. Now add to this a row of seats attached to each side of the bima in some larger shuls, and that would typify a classical Ashkenazi shul. Benches around three or four walls, and around the bima as well, if the shul is a larger place. So as usual, I would like to examine the Ashkenaz tradition, at least relating to sitting along three walls. And the fourth wall on the eastern side is kind of difficult to explain or to understand, but we're going to try to return to that later. So let's look at some of the sources before we get to the tradition as it's been kept for around the last 2,000 years or so. We'll begin with a Tosefta in Megillah, source number one. And this deals with how the Zakenim and everyone else sits in shul. And this Tosefta is not quoted in any Gemara. So it says as follows. It says, Ketzad hayu zakenim yoshvin. How did the zakenim sit? Pneim klapei am. They face the people. Vachareihen klapei kodesh. And their backs are towards the kodesh. Kishemanichanes ha-teva. When they placed the teva down. Pneim klapei ha-am. Vachareihen klapei kodesh. So they will face the people, and their backs will be towards the Aron Kodesh. Kishakoanim nosim kapehem, when the Kohanim go to Duchen, Pinehem klape ha'am, they're facing the people, v'achorehen klape kodesh. And so far, everything that we've listed seems to be what we do, at least commonly. Chazan ha'knesas, the chazan, the shatz, panov klape kodesh. He faces towards the Kodesh, meaning towards the Aron. V'cholam pneim klape Kodesh. And everyone else also sits facing the Kodesh. Shenemar, v'tikoel ha'ida el Pesach o'el Moed. Fine. So we see that people were facing the Ohel Moed. This Tosefta, I should just point out that it's a little confusing between the terms Teva and Kodesh. Now this Tosefta is quoted in the Rif, Rush, Rambam, Tur. Let's see the Rambam inside, since he has a little bit of a different girsa. So number two, Rambam writes, Ketzad ha'am yoshvim debate kinesios. How do the people sit in shul? Hazikenim yoshvin upneim klap beha'am. Vachoreim klap be'ahechal. So the zikenim sit facing the people, and their backs are toward the heichal. V'chol ha, meaning the aron. V'chol ha'am yoshvin shura lifnei shura, upnei hashura la'achorei hashura shelifanaha, atshi upnei kol ha'am klapei hakodesh, uklapei hazakenim, uklapei hateva. So it seems to be what we find today, right? That you have row after row, everyone's sitting facing the same way, except certain distinctive individuals in the front. U'ba'is sheshliach tzibur omei l'tfila omeid ba'aretz. So interesting, Rambam points this out, right? As we discussed, you do not daven from the center of the shul, from the bima, you daven from a different location. This fits in well with our bima and amud shir. Upanav lifnei hakodesh kishar am. See, he faces toward the aron like everybody else. Based on the simple reading of this Tosefta and all these commentators, it seems that this is what we do today. In most shuls, the rav and other important members sit facing the tzibur. The tzibur faces the aron. Now, the Mechaber does not quote this in Shulchan Aruch, and that's very telling. So that already should send up a red flag. The Rama, on the other hand, he does quote this halacha, number 3. He writes, U'keshem is palel hashliach tzibur. Panov klap yakodesh. The shliach tzibur, he faces the front. V'seder ha'yeshiva kachi. Here's how people sit in shul. Azekenim yoshvim p'neim klap ya'am. Azekenim sit facing the people. Shara am kulam yoshim shuros shuros. Everyone else sits in rows. Pneim klape akodesh upnei azakenim, facing forward. So it would seem that we have an open and shut case here, that everyone in shul faces forward, the rav faces them, and this is quite common. However, this is not what we find throughout history. This is not the custom. Not only that, but let's start with the Rama, who quoted this Tosefta as a halacha. And the Rama, we know, built a shul as Zichron Nishmas, his wife. She died at the age of 20 in a plague, at least according to one legend, which seems kind of accepted since the Rama's shul was originally his house. And we would expect, there are other legends also, but either way, the Rama did have a shul. And we would expect the Rama's shul to follow his own halacha as he records it in Shulchan Aruch. But it doesn't. It follows the standard Ashkenaz practice of sitting around the shul and the bima. And just as a side point, we see from here, besides that we have a discrepancy between all the sources and the minhag, as it's been for thousands of years, as we're going to show now, not everything in Shulchan Aruch is necessarily halacha l'maisa due to various factors, whatever those may be. So the question is, then why the Rama included? But we're not going to discuss that. If you look in the article, you'll find some answers for that as well. So let's see the picture of the Rama Shul in number 4. And unfortunately, the bottom of the picture, which is the part we need, came out very dark. But you can look all these pictures up online. You could see on the bottom of the page of the picture of number 4, you can see the glint from the bench facing forward. And if you look on the right wall, you could actually see the top of the bench. That's the very dark part before it becomes lighter. If you look on the left wall, it's even harder to see, but you have to take my word for it, there's a bench on that side as well. So it's a typical Ashkenaz setup. On 3 sides, you have seating. Now, just to point out one interesting thing here, you could see the high mechitzos surrounding the bima. So let's examine some old shuls to see some of their seating arrangements. And the first one we'll look at is from Masada. This shul is from approximately the time of the Churban Bayis Sheni. You can see very clearly when you examine the picture that there are stone benches on 3 of the 4 sides. Now it's possible the 4th side has as well, but you can't tell from this picture. And we have other ruins from this time period that have seating on all 4 walls. And apparently what they used to do was they wouldn't sit, I don't think, at least from what I understand, directly on these stone benches, but they would put something on top of it, like pillows or some kind of other material, carpeting, like, they would sit on top of that. Now let's look at some Ashkenaz shuls besides the Ramla shul. The Worms shul, built in 1034, in number 6. You can see there's both a model here and a lithograph. And you could clearly see seating on three sides of the shul. Not only that, you could see the seats that are appended to the sides of the bima as well. And once again, the fourth side is blacked, so it's not really possible to tell from these pictures, at least, if there are seats along the fourth wall. But again, you'll notice there are these massive mechitzos that are around the bima. The fourth shul, in number 7, has all the seats facing forward, but it has two benches, one on each side, and on the beyond that, on the right side, you could clearly see there's a double women's gallery on the ground floor and on the second floor, which is just pointing out it's notably absent from the previous shuls, but that's a topic for a different time. Number 8, we have the famous Altnoy Shul in Prague from 1290. And you could see, even in the small picture here, pretty clearly that there are seats on all four walls. You could see directly in front, there are seats facing forward, there are seats on the sides, there are seats sticking out from the bima over here. Everything's pretty clear in this picture. Let's look at some Sephardi shuls. There's number 9 is the Eitz Chaim shul in Amsterdam. It is a classic Sephardi setup. The bima, you see there are two pictures here, just trying to show that the bima is actually all the way in the west. You can see there's one or so rows behind the bima facing forward. And the remainder of the shul, as you can see on the left side picture, the seats are all facing each other. So the side we're looking at, they're facing one way. And on the opposite side of the shul, they are facing the opposite way towards these seats. And you can see as well that there's a gallery here. So let's move on to some American shuls. Start with a Sephardi shul, the Turo Synagogue, number 10. So same setup, this Sephardi shul though, but this time the bima is in the middle. So this shul was built in 1763, and the picture is taken from the gallery. And even though it's a Sephardi shul, at least as far as I understand, it's interesting that here you could clearly see a bench on the eastern wall as well. Meaning, in addition to these movable benches, which are facing sideways, look behind them and you will see a bench going all the way around the walls in the eastern side and the north and the south, which presumably means they're seating on all four walls. And just as an interesting point, if you look right at the bottom of the picture, you see there's a little trapdoor in front of the on the front of the bima, and or the back of the bima, depending how you look at it. And there's a whole story about that, which you could look up. Finally, here's a shul in Philadelphia called Mikveh Yisrael, number 11. And here you could see that the bima is in the center and all the benches are facing each other. We could say very clearly that even though we made a distinction between the Ashkenaz manner of sitting and the Sephard manner of sitting, that the two approaches are very, very similar. So much so that the Turo Synagogue has seating all around. And if you look at number 12 over there, anyone recognize this shul? This is Beth Shalom in Lawrence, and this is an Ashkenaz shul. It has a perfect Sephardi-style setup. I'm not really sure how this happened or how the Turo Synagogue happened, but here, the bima's in the west, and you have seats facing the middle of the shul. Now you have all these rows, and next to the bima in the west, you have some seating on each side, which is facing front, facing forward. So at this point, we have shown, historically, that seating arrangements in shul does not necessarily follow the Tosafta. And clearly we've only seen a couple of shuls, but there are many more that follow the same model, at least until the 19th century, when things began to change. So where does that leave us? Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid, one of the Hasidei Ashkenaz, he writes that we sit in all different directions around the shul to show that Hashem listens to all our tefillos, that Hashem is not closer or further away than any individual. Everyone, no matter where you're sitting, you get equal treatment from God, so to say. So let's see number 13. He writes, Kel Melech Neman, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, Arba Shemos. So just to point out, the German custom is that you always say Kel Melech Naaman, or you say Amen. It has to be one or the other, because the Rashi Tevos of Kel Melech Naaman is Amen. So either way, you get four Shemos, right? You get the Kel from Kel Melech Naaman, then Hashem Elokeinu Hashem. So he points out that this corresponds Kishe Yoshim La'arba Kitzavos Beis HaKnesses Kol Echum Mechavin Ki'ilu Shechina Keneged Panav. Every person should think that the Shechina is directly in front of me. Shelo Yomar Adam Kivon Shepone Chavei Rai Etzli Hani Yoshev B'Mizrach V'Chavei Rai B'Marav Echa Kadosh Baruch Hu B'Rega Echad V'Chol Tzad. How's it possible? God's listening to every person in the shul on every different side. I'm facing this way, he's facing that way. Uksivu fanisi aleichem. Kol echad ve'echad tzarech l'chavi libo ki'ilu shechina pina eilav uklapi shechina pona eilav. Eilom ar echi tochin she yipane la'arba ruchos ka'achas. You shouldn't think, you know, how is it possible that God should listen to everyone in one moment? Kol zek kasa v'sefer ha'kavot she b'sha echad bochin kol ha'levavos. Recha echad shomea tefila mizeh v'shomea tefila mizeh v'afal pisha zem mispal ma she'in zem mispal. So it comes out, l'fi Yosefer Hasidim, that we specifically sit in shul around the four walls of the shul in order to show an idea that Hashem is not closer or further away than everyone else. That's a mistaken idea. The idea is that Hashem is equally available to everyone. And this idea, this source, is clearly expressing what we've seen in terms of the active Mesorah of how to sit in shul. So let's give one more idea, which we quoted when we discussed the Bima from Rav Yaakov Ellinger. And he writes in number 14 as follows. The Bima should be in the middle of the shul, the same way that a seed is embedded in the core of a fruit, as the heart is in the center of the body, as rays emanate from a central pinpoint of light, so too the Luchos and Torah were located in the middle of the encampment in the desert. In our shuls, this idea is represented by the Bima, where we read the Torah, which is located in the middle of the shul. This teaches us the centrality of Torah in the life of a Jew. The center represents equality. All of Yisrael has an equal share in Torah. All Jews are reminded by this to guard the Torah. In a battle, there is a flag that must be protected. In the same way, Yisrael has its banner that we rally around and must protect, the Torah. So when I first presented this, I didn't realize, and it didn't occur to me, that in Rav Yaakov Ettlinger's shul, in the Aruch Lener shul, they sat around the Bima, which was in the center, and at least on three sides, maybe even four sides of the shul, they had the Bima in the center, and they sat around it, just like he points out. So this makes the point really beautiful, really makes it stick out, and really fits well into Shavuos. Now, we have to answer a bunch of questions. So first off, do you need to face the Aron when you daven? Perhaps the whole reason we sit towards the east in so many shuls is because you have to daven towards the Aron. And the bottom line, as I understand it at least, is that there is no din to face the Aron when davening, except for Shmona Esrei, Baruch Hu, and Modim. When shaking the lulav, due to a technicality that you need to shake to all four directions in a specific order, so therefore we all face one way, and customarily for Alein. And Kiddusha doesn't even make the list. Another question we need to look into is, what happened to the Tosefta? How did we get away from it? So is the Tosefta halacha lemaisa? So from the Ramah, it seems that it isn't, even though he puts it in Shulchan Aruch. The Levush, who's a Talmud of the Ramah, he writes explicitly that this Tosefta only applied when people used to sit according to Kavod. And many Achronim agree to this, such as the Mishnah Berurah, the Chayei Adam, the Karchayim, the Primigadim, and others. So let's see the Levush inside, number 15. He writes, B'yameihem hoya lahem seder bo yoshivu kol echad min atzibur lefi kvodo. Used to sit according to each person's Kavod. V'achshav, konen hamikomus, B'damim yikarim kol echad l'fi ashro v'in makom la'usu seder. So the Levush is telling us that since in his time they used to purchase their seats, Therefore, they were not sinning according to Kavod. The whole idea of the Tosefta drops off. Now, the question on this is that since we don't do this today, how does it help us? But it might explain why the Tosefta was not followed. So let's move on to another reason. The Tosefta itself might imply that it's no longer applicable, because if you look at the headline, it says, Ketzad Hayu Zikenim Yoshvin. So Hayu is past tense, which seems to imply that it's no longer applicable. A third reason that we don't follow this, or that maybe we even do follow this, is that both the Karban Nisanal and the Derisha understand this Tosefta, believe it or not, to be in accordance with Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid. So I'm not quoting them since I don't understand how they make it work really, but I'm going to put it out there since they say it. So again, according to this opinion, this Sefer Hasidim somehow fits into this Tosefta. Just to run through a few other reasons why a shul is set up around the Bima, besides for the Sefer Hasidim that we mentioned and the Aruch Laner, some poskim say that since Christians all sit facing forward, if you see a picture of any church, you'll see all the benches face forward, so the poskim don't want us to sit in that manner in a shul. Now others say that it's nothing to do with what the Christians are doing. We don't really care what they're doing, but the custom shouldn't be changed. Once we have a custom, customs to sit around the walls, we shouldn't change that, regardless of anything else. Another reason we sit around is because we sit according to the encampment in the desert, where they sat facing the Ohel Moed, as we briefly mentioned before, that the way they encamped, and possibly traveled too, it's Machokas, they would sit with three Shvatim on each side of the encampment, with the Ohel Moed in the middle. Now, another question we have to ask is, what changed in the 19th century that shuls dropped this seating arrangement? So we're going to give six ideas. So the first is that in Germany, the Shulchan Aruch was either not very well known or wasn't accepted till the 19th century. During this time, the writings became more accepted. And therefore, as the writings became more accepted, they changed to face forward. Now, there's a long bear halacha on this, which we're not quoting, but it's worth seeing inside. Number two, this Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid that we quoted was not well known, and there were poskim that changed because they thought the Ashkenaz custom was a mistake. It's not what you find in Shulchan Aruch. And who knows what the Sefer Hasidim says? It's not necessarily the most common Sefer in the world. Further, changing any old minhag, even one that's against the Shulchan Aruch, is not simple, and the same Be'er Halacha points that out. Number three, some places felt it was an okay pshara to make to the Reform movement in order to be with the times. And Rav Hirsch felt it was okay. And if you go to KAJ today, you'll see all the rows face forward. The Wurzburger Rav, Rav Yitzchak Dov Halevi Bamberger, he also paskin that it is mutter to change the seating in shul as a concession to Reform. Number four, in the 19th century, a new type of tefillah came around called tefillah misadaras. It became popular. And we translate that in English as regulated prayer service. If you look at number 16, I wrote out the German word, and the translation roughly as regulated God service or regulated prayer service. Number five, this is more of a practical thing. In Germany in the 19th century, there was a mass migration from small little towns to cities, and practically just more seats were needed. And when using straight rows, it appears that you could fit more seats into shul than when you have them around the walls. Now, one last reason in regard to Eastern Europe, There are additional reasons having to do with Shtiblach and Hasidim, which became the majority, and they had a lot more influence than the old shuls. And not only that, the old shuls were attended to by the Amei Haaretz. So people, I guess, figured over time that they don't know what they're doing anyway. But in the Shtiblach and other places where people were davening and the seating was not arranged around the shul, that became the popular way to do it, as opposed to the way the regular shuls would do it that were attended to by these Amei Haaretz. So, just to approach this topic of how can one sit with their back to the Eastern Wall. And this is actually quite difficult. We explained how makbid they were in Ashkenaz not to have one's back to the Aron. And that's one of the reasons why the Bima has these massive mechitzos on it, so that the Rav could give his drasha on it. We explained when we discussed the Bima and the Amud how when a person bows for Lichadodi, you do it twice, right? Once to welcome Shabbos, and a second time you face the Aron to show kind of that you meant no disrespect. When the Kohanim finish Duchening, what do? They turn around and they kiss the Parochas. And I think that it's the same reason, that you're trying to show that you really didn't intend to have your back to the Aron. We said that in Poland in later times that they were not as makbid on this, but in general, I have a hard time understanding it, especially in Germany. How did they sit along this wall? So first, let's see this Lavush that we quoted earlier, who seems to address this, in number 15. This is on the second line, in the middle of the line. He writes, the Olam Yizaharu, Shlo Yasu Shum Makom Leishev Alav Bein Habima Shebe'emtza Beis HaKnesses Ubein HaHechal. So he's saying that location in front of the Bima, before the Aron Kodesh, make sure not to put seats, but often sheyehe pnei hayoshev aleha neged habima va'achorav el haheichal, in a way where the person's back would be to the aron itself. Tiganaihu ve'isser nami hava. He says you're not allowed to do that. So it seems what he's saying is that the isser is only directly in front of the aron, and we're going to get back to that soon. Va'od, an additional reason, k'dei shelo yafsik bein ha-mevarech al ha-sefer Torah, or bein ha-hechal, t'nira ki-mishtacha ve-lo, ki-mishtacha ve-levarech. So it's a little hard for me to understand exactly, but I think what he's saying is that when you say Baruch Hu, when you get an Aliyah, if there's someone in front of you, and he's facing you, it looks like you're bowing down towards him. Now, that's odd, because, assuming I understand it right, then what difference does it make if his face is towards you or if his back is towards you? No matter what, if anyone's in front of you, you're kind of bowing towards him. Plus, you have those massive mechitzos. So I'm not really sure about the second point. I probably just don't understand it. But the first point is something we'll get back to in a moment. So let me attempt two answers. And the first was that in European shuls, the Aron Kodesh was often in what we call a Torah niche, which is a room built outside of the shul, but directly connected to the shul. Very, very common. And perhaps this is considered a different reshus, and therefore you could have your back to it. And I'm sure there are a number of shuls in the area that have this, but the only one that I know of, for sure, is in the yeshiva of South Shore. They have these large stone luchos, which are actually located outside of the building. That is the Aron Kodesh. And if you're in the building itself, it is in the place where they daven, but you actually have to walk into a separate room to get there. But that kind of seems like a weak reason to me. Now, if we get back to this Levush that we mentioned, perhaps we could say that if your back is on the wall itself, it's on the Eastern Wall, then your back is not towards the Aron, your back is towards the Eastern Wall. And if I'm in front of the Aron, then my back is towards the Aron. But if I'm against the wall, perhaps it's not a problem. Maybe. I'm not sure. I don't know. And if the Torah niche is recessed, meaning it's outside and my back's on the Eastern Wall, then it sounds even more like I still have my back towards the Aron. So I'm not 100% sure how this works. But if anyone has any ideas, I'd like to hear them. So this brings me to the point of this year, and maybe the only controversial portion, of why did I choose this topic. So there are only a few, so to say, shuls left, which keep the original custom and do not sit like a church where everyone is facing forward. And the trend is to change, that everything should be straight, everything should be forward. And even though we've said that it's not criminal to change, and Migdolim, as Rav Hirsch and Rav Bamberger were, in the face of reform, okay with such concessions, we don't, Baruch Hashem, we don't share these problems. And we're fortunate enough that if you have this ancient Mesorah in terms of sitting, there's probably not such a great reason to change it that everything should be facing forward. And certainly it's not a crime to change it, but I would suggest that if a shul wants to change their seating where everyone should be facing forward, this is at least something that should be looked into more at length. Thank you for listening.